Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with women's weight loss coach Garrett Sert from Tandem Nutrition. Garrett and I speak about what a metabolic reset phase looks like, why people gain weight back, and tips to become more consistent with your nutrition. I hope you enjoy the episode, and please, if you like the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Now on to my conversation with Garrett. Garrett Sert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
I'm excited to speak with you today. And my first question to you is, what is the number one thing you are excited for our listeners to learn today?
I would say the importance of what you're doing after a diet in order to keep weight off.
I love it. I love it because that is truly one thing I think many, 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 many people are getting wrong. I mean, not for no reason, are something crazy like 85% regaining the weight after a dieting phase. So truly, obviously, we're not too bad at actually losing the weight. We're much more challenged at keeping the weight off. So yeah, why don't we actually start there in the sense of what people can do in order to keep the weight off?
Yeah, I think the first thing is just knowing that a post-diet phase is necessary and required in order to, fully keep weight off. And the fact that kind of knowing that the metabolism decreases as you're dieting down, and that having a proper like plan in place where you're re-increasing calories very slowly and strategically after that is really critical, because I think a lot of people just focus on the diet itself. And which is great. I mean, that's really important for the fat loss aspect, but knowing how and when to increase calories afterward is really critical for keeping that weight off, as you know, as well.
Yeah, and I think so many people are scared of that then. So what I typically hear or have seen in the past is that either people stay at really low calories because they're so terrified of putting the weight back on, or they're simply like, oh, I'm at my goal weight. Okay, I'm going to go and eat the way that I was eating before the diet. And both approaches do not work, as we both know.
Exactly.
So, okay, if you have a client who has reached her goal weight and she's like, Garrett, I really, really don't want to put the weight back on. I've worked so hard. I was so patient. How does this reverse dieting work? I mean, you already kind of alluded to slowly, strategically, but let's take a client, Joanne or whatever, and she says, so how long is this going to take? How many calories are we going to increase over whatever? Like how does the reverse diet function?
Yeah, so I've it's taken me around like 5 or 6 years to really figure this out, because when I first started doing like a reverse diet, I would just increase calories by like 50 calories every week over time, and that led to my clients gaining weight very slowly, just because I realized I wasn't looking at the data in terms of like weight changes per week. And so now what we do is we are really heavy on data. So we're looking at So we use Trainerize as our app, and we're looking at their weight on an average basis on an Excel sheet, their calorie intake, their steps. And what we do is we essentially look at their weekly average change in weight and how many calories they're essentially in the calorie deficit. And by looking at that, we can identify exactly how many calories to increase by to get to their estimated maintenance at that point in time. And it changes, weekly. Or it can't change weekly. And so typically what I found was, if someone's brand new to dieting, and let's say they dieted for 12 weeks, then it would take at least 12 weeks to get their calories back up to a level that would almost look like a pre-dieted metabolism per se. And so it does take some time. Everyone's a little bit different, but when done very strategically, looking at different data points, it can make sure that weight gain does not occur over time.
I love it. And it sounds like it's very individualized now as well. I have found that sometimes if we're going about the reverse diet way too slow, it's not a good thing either because we keep hormone levels kind of in the tanks for too long. And people are so excited they got to the end of their diet, right? And so if you tell them,
Yes.
and oh, okay, well, actually, this reverse diet thing still going to take another 12 weeks, they're like, what? Another 12 weeks of
Yes. Yeah.
hypothetically being in a calorie deficit? No. So I think we've learned that it doesn't have to be super, super snail sort of tempo. And I think it also always depends on like how lean did that person get? How much did their hormones actually suffer or not? Because if we're just sort of talking about, hey, someone has 100 pounds to lose, but we're only halfway there, we want to take half a year of a break, so we're just going to do a bit of a reverse diet. That can be much, much faster, or it can be a different approach, and we don't need to get to the maintenance level quite as quickly as if someone is very, very lean and their hormones have taken a hit and they're not sleeping too well. Then we're like, right, we really want to get you feeling better much quicker. So
Yes.
we're going to get there a lot speedier.
100%. I remember I did a physique competition in 2016, and I hired a coach to do my contest prep, and I was brand new to reverse dieting back then. And I remember I finished my contest. I lost like 30 pounds, and he's like, "Okay." He's like, "We're gonna start your reverse diet." I'm like, "Awesome." I was so excited for more food. He says, "This week you get 10 more grams of carbs and like 5 more grams of fats." I'm like, "Oh my goodness, I was starving, like literally starving." And I would binge eat and I would like fast. And this, it put me in the cycle of binging and fasting and binging and fasting. I'm like, there's gotta be a better way. There's gotta be. And so I took things back into my own control, and I kind of looked at the weight change and data. I was losing like a half pound per week. So I'm like, if I want to get to my maintenance, that means I have to increase calories by like 250 calories per day. I'm like, I'm gonna do that. And I lost weight because it's just a decrease in stress over time.
Metabolism as well. You touched on that a couple of times. So you said initially when I asked you what one of the number one takeaways from this conversation should be, you said restoring metabolic rate is super important
Yes.
after a diet. And you mentioned that when we get to the maintenance level, your clients with your approach now, they usually have a restored metabolic rate. And I think that an adapted metabolism is something that many people nowadays are afraid of. They hear that, or it used to often be called like a broken metabolism.
Right, yes,
Even
yeah.
worse, where you're like, oh my God, my metabolism is broken. Does that mean I don't function well anymore or I can't get it back? So I'd love to hear your strategies for how we do restore metabolic health and what like an adaptive metabolism actually means.
Yeah, and I think you're spot on too, Lisa. I think everyone is kind of like nervous about like, did I damage my metabolism? But like being human and dieting, like having an adaptive metabolism, like that's part of the normal process of dieting down. It's a survival mechanism that helps us, stay alive, right? So, and so when it comes to like, so your question was like, what can we do to mitigate the I guess restore the metabolic rate after diet?
Yes.
So like, I think there's three main things. So we call ours a metabolic reset phase. It's kind of like a just a kind of a term for our program, but there's three main goals. We want to re-increase our metabolic rate, and we do that by number one, increasing calories, decreasing cardio steps, and also reducing stress. So training volume or intensity may change for a short term, so it's essentially doing the exact opposite to what will happen throughout a fat loss phase, but doing it in a way that doesn't cause weight regain. And when I tell people this, they're like, there's no way that weight gain doesn't happen. And you're right. Like when I first did it, I had it all wrong. But like over time, when you look at data and when you only make very specific increases to keep your calories at metabolism, because you're just like your metabolic rate will adapt over time in the fat loss phase. It'll also adapt as you give more calories because you're walking more, you're putting more muscle mass, your need is increasing, things like that. And so there just has to be a plan in place to make it happen that you can like trust and feel great about.
Yeah, the planification of things is so, so important. And going back to your point of what your contest prep or post contest coach did wrong at the time was that I think we've learned now that when we get to that kind of stage, we need to do a recovery diet. So I think people
Yes.
mistake one for the other because with a recovery diet, we're like really aware of, hey, there has to come more body fat on your body because you're not in a healthy state right now. Whereas with a reverse diet, we're at least aiming to keep any kind of weight gain very, very minimal. So I like how you are just emphasizing the main thing really is that we have a plan in place and that people don't go and quote unquote intuitively eat. I think that is one of the biggest mistakes you can make post diet. I have had sometimes initially clients after we finish a weight loss phase, they're like, okay, Lisa, I want to finish our coaching because, we've reached the goal. I'm like, no, this is the worst time. Please stay. And then I try to explain, like, if you stop tracking now, if you're just going to eat intuitively, your body is going to send you all the hunger cues because it actually wants you to regain the weight. It is like you're, again, to your point of programming of the natural survival sort of mechanisms, our body is going to send increased hunger signals, increase like your hormones, literally everything in your body is going to be like, eat more, and there's more food around, do that. So yeah,
100%.
intuitive eating post diet does not work.
100%. And I used to work for another company years ago, and they had me at the end of their fat loss phase for their clients, encourage the client to do a celebratory meal afterwards. And like before, and like that's the worst thing to do too, because like especially like even with the reverse diet, because first off, people are kind of nervous about like increasing calories and gaining weight. And but if you start one of these phases already with like 3 pounds above where you end your fat loss phase at or diet at, there's less trust in the process because automatically they want to lose weight again. And I tell all our clients, like, there's one thing we will not do once we start this reverse diet is like, we're not going to go back into a calorie deficit like right away. Like, we have to spend time, trust the process, and really focus on optimizing hormones and energy and muscle and kind of getting that metabolism back to a healthy spot so you can lose fat again from a healthy spot.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I often, in terms of metabolism, I often try to give the analogy of like it's like a laptop. Let's say is you have a fully charged laptop, you're taking it off charge. That would be like you starting your diet, right? And in the beginning, everything is the same. You're not going to be like super hungry. All the backup processes, everything works really well. But after a while, it might be a little bit dimmer. After a while, it might not be doing the backup processes anymore. After a while, it might ask you to close a few tabs to keep working and so on. And you get to the like really low power stage, and you're like, okay, cool, I've reached my goal now. And then when you it back in, it's not like after a second or 2 seconds your metabolism is recharged, your laptop is recharged. It's going to take a while for you to get back to 80%, 100% before you can then unplug it again. And I think also to the point of your metabolism increases again, it makes sense in the to the point of when we're in a dieting phase, a lot of the extra calorie burn aspects sort of go into power saving mode. Like your body's not going to spend as much energy on like hormone optimization, on you fidgeting, on you sitting upright, and all these things. But when you're plugged back in, it's suddenly like extra energy to spare. Let's optimize everything.
That is such a good analogy. I've never heard that before. I love
Oh,
that.
thank you. Well, feel free to use it. I think like analogies for clients and for me personally, like when I learn stuff, I love analogies because they just paint a really good picture sometimes, if it's the right analogy, obviously. But you touched on a good point that I have also seen with other people that have not necessarily gone through a specific dieting phase with us, but they just like you probably get that too. You get people coming to you and they say, I think I have a slow metabolism. Like I'm already at 1200 calories. I've been doing this and that and nothing works anymore. Like why is this happening? I just wanna lose weight, but I can't possibly eat less. What do I do now? So how do you approach things with a client like that?
It's very common to get clients joining a program or any program that say these things, especially the rise in GLP-1s. And so we have to just be very careful and like trust the client as much as we can, like do a very thorough assessment. And what I always do is I always do like a trial like period first. I'm like, let's dial in your calories. Because there's one thing that all calorie estimation or calorie prediction equations don't take into account, and that is past dieting history. And so we may decrease calories a bit lower in the beginning, but not too low. And if we see like once, like I just want to see them being consistent with tracking calories every day and being consistent. Consistency is so important, as you know. And so a lot of clients who come to us saying these types of things, they'll actually lose weight for 4, 6, 8, 10 weeks and on a consistent basis because of that consistency piece not being there. Now, if they don't lose weight, and this is very common too with clients who come to us who've like get a client who is on GLP-1s for like 8 or 9 months, lost a lot of weight, and she was eating 1,000 calories and still wasn't losing weight. And so we had no other choice but to kind of start into a metabolic reset phase and like give her more calories from the beginning, like literally meeting her where she's at in the beginning. So I think a lot of clients come to us, and when they know they're tracking at, say, 1,100 calories, they think that we're going to put them at like 1,500 or 1,600 right away, but that will literally cause fat gain. And so we have to meet them where they're at and slowly increase from there to optimize their metabolic rate and their hormones and kind of gain that trust so that they can like know that there's nothing wrong. We just have to optimize hormones to get things in a healthy spot to lose fat from a healthier caloric level again.
Yeah, and I think with the whole making sure we're not gaining any additional weight in a reverse diet or in this situation, I think the important part to emphasize as well is food quality. And I have seen this too with people that are afraid to go into a muscle gaining phase. Or so I'm like, okay, you just need to make sure that you're not seeing this as these extra 200 calories I can now spend on a muffin or on whatever. We want to make sure, especially in this case, that it comes from fibrous foods, healthy fats, high protein, and so on. And I think sometimes when we get the people with 1200 calories or 1000 coming to us, they're not hitting their protein, they're like hardly getting any fiber. So no wonder that their metabolism is quote unquote slow. Or I don't know what your sort of take is on the importance of fiber and healthy fats in terms of diet quality.
Yeah, no, I think it's super, super important, especially when it affects gut health and energy and even craving. I mean, as you notice this too, increasing protein can have a big impact on cravings and appetite and just having the nutrients the body needs to just feel better can have a big impact on metabolic rate and overall health and functionality as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the satiation part is so important, especially if people are not taking any GLP-1 agonists or anything like that, and they are battling with cravings. And as we also know, adherence, sticking with the prescribed calories is, the most important thing. Otherwise, what does the best plan help if you're not actually sticking with it?
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm super curious, kind of shifting into a little bit more your personal history. How did you become, or how did you get to being a women's fat loss coach? I mean, what made you passionate about this sort of area?
Yeah, I get this question quite a bit. So, I'm 36 now, but when I was 16 years old, I had a really bad eating disorder, and that put me in this path of just being obsessed with nutrition. And so I became a dietitian. I didn't really know what I was doing when I was like on this path of learning about nutrition. But I just had a heart to like just want to help people. And like I just learned a lot about nutrition and fat loss on my own. And so went through some education, and then I started with clients in 2012. So that's when I started my business. But I had no clue how to build a business, and I was like just fresh out of college. So I failed at my first business attempt, and I brought my company back in 2015. And so we had a lot of like. Luckily, I hired a coach. We had a lot of clients, and most were ladies. And so I just had a lot of experience working with women over like 2, 3, 4 years, and then things just started picking up, and we just needed to hire coaches. And so just throughout my time of working with like 300 ladies, I developed some really specific strategies that related to them. And we hired our first few coaches, and I taught them those strategies. And now I don't really coach anymore. I have a team of 10 coaches, and they do all the coaching now. And so, they're mainly women, and so they are amazing what they do. And the transformations you see are not from me, but from them. And now we're just kind of working as a team to help women not only lose body fat, but like I'm very passionate about helping women keep weight off for life. Because when I first started coaching, I had a 12-week program, and like had no clue what I was doing, but it was through time and error I learned about the importance of that post-dieting phase for lifelong fat loss.
Oh, what a beautiful mission. And I have no doubt that with your personal passion, you're a great leader for your coaches. And I'm sure you also sort of like quote unquote oversee what they do with their clients. So I absolutely love it. And thank you for sharing about your own personal struggles with nutrition. I can imagine that that makes you a very empathetic coach because you know what it's like, body image issues, or you know, like you mentioned, like binge eating episodes and so on, what that can be like. And I think often if we have personal experience with something, it makes us a better coach in that area also. So yeah, I think it's super interesting that you mostly work or with women in your company. But I think it's also great that you're speaking about, hey, it's not uncommon for men to also have sort of disordered eating patterns or body image issues. And I mean, is it exclusively for women, or do you also have some men that you work with here and there?
Yeah, we do have men as well. We don't kind of, we have like a men's program too, but we don't really market it because it may create like brand confusion. And so if I'm on the like a phone call with a lady and her husband wants to join, because we found that when spouses work together towards their goals, like they achieve, like there's so much more support and accountability. And so we'll like bring him on, and we have a couple guys on our team who are coaches. And so they work with the guys. And so it's just, we definitely want to make sure that we're helping out the spouses if necessary as well.
I think that's amazing because, yeah, if you do it, well, I guess two things. I love if people approach nutrition together as a couple at the same time. Yet, I will say, because I've had people asking me about this, hey, can you just, you know, first of all, like just charge one rate because we're just two, we're going to do the same thing. I'm like, no, that doesn't work. You obviously have different calorie requirements. You're going to progress at different rates and so on. And number two, I don't actually think it's, valuable or as valuable to actually coach them together at the same time, hearing what the other person has to say. Because sometimes you might be like, I had a binge episode because I had a freaking fight with my husband. And you're not going to say that out loud if the husband is sitting next to you. And likewise, maybe the husband feels overpowered by the woman being there who possibly has more experience with dieting or with food or whatever it might be. So I'm super curious in terms of your or your coach's communication style with the men versus women, what kind of differences have you noticed? Like, do they communicate differently within their check-ins? Is it a little bit more hesitant to open up about like the deeper things, or is this a prejudice that I'm saying?
That's a good, it's such a good question. I think just when it comes to coaching some of the men, I've just kind of noticed over time that just men don't get as deep and very emotional, or they don't share as much. And most of the time when we have a couple who signs up, we tend to split them apart between coaches. Just because we have some guys who specialize in working with men specifically, but I think there's an aspect of just privacy too that's important. But yeah, I think when I first started coaching, I had a few men first, and I realized that it's really tough to coach men because guys don't really check in. They don't like respond to emails or text. And when you at most, maybe it's different now. I don't know, but like unless you have someone who's really driven, most men have a hard time like really tracking calories and just really being consistent with it. I found that most women are very co more coachable, perhaps, and they share a lot more that can help be more helpful in a coaching relationship.
Yeah, I think if you have, it's obviously very different if you have someone who's like a competitor or performance athlete or so. What I have often found, because I mean, we have like 10, 20% of our clients are probably men. And so we do work with men also. And I have found that, especially when things are going well, they don't really see the necessity of checking in, like, no, this is still important, right? Like, don't just tell me when, like, oh, by the way, Lisa, I haven't spoken to you in 5 weeks, but I've just put on 7 pounds again. I'm sorry. Like, oh no, this is too late. Why didn't you reach out beforehand in the process? But then I feel like they often also don't want to burden you, whereas you need to make sure to tell them, that's what I'm here for. That is literally what I'm here for. So please, before or while it happens, bring me into the picture so that I can help you. But yeah, to your point of like maybe not being as elaborate, sometimes with With our check-in forms, we might, like some women, they write half a page of a paragraph for each question, and it turns into 5, 6 pages, and I love that actually, because detail is power. But sometimes with the men, it might be like yes, no, yep. And you're like, I'm giving more. I
Yes.
want more detail. I don't know actually what that means, but yeah. So it can be a bit of a matter of like breaking into the trust I have found.
Yeah, I think some guys too, kind of like you mentioned in terms of like, hey, it's been 5 weeks, I gained 7 pounds. I think some guys too, at least me, I like, unless I hire a coach myself, I like to like, hey, I can just take care of this, right? I'll fix this versus going to someone I may be paid to help.
Exactly.
And that could be maybe an aspect of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you mentioned the consistency with tracking there. So I would love to hear some tips, perhaps for anyone, whether male or female out there, who is struggling with the consistency. I've got a few clients that maybe they have no issues tracking 4 days of the week, and then 2, 3, 4 days they're like kind of like, oh no, I tracked half a day, or I didn't track, or forgot, or yeah, what would be some tips there?
I like to, like you do as well, I like to get to the root cause of like, why aren't we being consistent? And oftentimes is that I find that like an all or nothing mindset can keep someone from like being consistent and like having like a positive mindset. And so understanding that and then setting up some parameters to help them with kind of abolish that mindset. For example, what we do is we would give our clients ranges for their calories and just have them focus on calories and protein so they don't feel overwhelmed. And so easy goals. So make it very difficult for them to fail so they can like be in this positive momentum over time. And we've noticed like when I first started coaching, it's funny, like when we start something new, at least me, I tend to be terrible at it. And so when I first started coaching, I was coaching contest prep competitors and general population. And I remember I would give them a calorie goal and all the macro goals. And I would say, hey, listen, I really want you to be like, don't go over this goal. Like, don't go over 5 calories. And I remember like they would do that and like they would like binge or like really fall off track. And I'm like, this is probably not the best approach. So over time I changed that.
Flexibility, yeah. And for me personally as well, like if someone were to tell me, Lisa, you need to hit 2,122 calories every single day exactly, I'm like, what? Like it doesn't even make sense to me logically, because some days I'm gonna be more energized and other days I'm not, or especially with women also, depending on what stage of the cycle we're in. Yes, it's good to like roughly be 80, 90% sort of close to your calories, but I love that you're working with ranges. I think it makes it a lot more attainable if someone is struggling with consistency. Of course, if someone's a competitor, it's a bit of a different ball game. But yeah, in terms of not being caught up in the perfectionism of like I need to hit every single macro exactly, because yeah, absolutely, if someone has a binge and they're gonna be a little bit ashamed of entering that into their food log, so I'm like, I'd rather see a 3,000 calorie log than you having blank days every single week where I'm just like questioning why we're spinning our wheels in circles. So I really like that. And to the point of calories and protein, especially with protein, I would love to hear if you have any tips on how to hit our protein target consistently, because I feel that most people that start coaching, they have an issue with that. They might start off with like 80, 70 grams of protein or so. So how do we get to like 150?
That's a big struggle for a lot of people. I think recognizing exactly what you said, like where they're at, and then because I used to be when I first started coaching, I'm like everyone gets 1 gram per pound of body weight. I'm like that's great for a lot of people, but like for some people, that's just not number one needed for a lot of people, especially for women who are training like 3 days per week and they're like, 25, 30 years old, because we know that protein needs increase as we age, and especially with training frequency as well. But so I like to take like a stepwise approach and recognizing, hey, here's where we're at and here's where we want to go. And look at their current diet and say, hey, listen, like what can we change? Maybe one or two things in these first 2 weeks that can help us get 20 grams more per day. And over because another thing too is one common thing I see, Lisa, is a lot of ladies will increase their protein by 50, 60 grams at a time. And like they will experience or kind of let us know that they have a change in like bowel patterns, and they won't correlate that with lack of weight loss. And so they're blaming their diet on, like, I'm not losing weight. But they won't tell us, like, hey, but I haven't used the restroom in 4 days. And so fiber is really important. Water is so important. So understanding where they're at and having that gradual increase in protein is so important over time to prevent those issues, as you know.
Yeah, gradually for sure with protein, because I think people also get bloated and gassy, and it's just
Yes.
something where you're like, first of all, slow down. Let's maybe do like 20 grams this week, 20 grams next week that we're trying to get up to and or increase, and to give your body, your digestive system a chance to adapt to doing more hard work, because that is
Yes.
also part of the reason why we're going to increase our metabolic rate or our thermic effect of food and our satiation, all of that. But it takes some time for your body to get used to, for sure. So what are some of your like personal favorites when it comes to high protein foods or distribution in terms of protein? Is there anything that you give as recommendations to your clients or really flexible?
Yeah, I try to important, so I try to inform them of the importance of number one, like hitting their daily protein goal. And then like number two, like that's most important for like muscle maintenance and growth. And then number two, trying to have at least 20, 25 grams of protein in each meal. And then from that specifically focusing on higher quality proteins. And I try to like see what they're doing now. And like if we can increase by just adding in more, like if they're having chicken, like adding in a couple more ounces of chicken, or like I love protein pancakes. And so like I will always put protein in my pancakes, or even like protein in my coffee and things like that, just to make it very easy for them. Is that kind of like what you're asking about
Yeah,
specifically?
absolutely,
Okay.
absolutely. I mean, it can be literally be anything. I think some people are like, egg whites and chicken, but I think this is an easy hack where you're like, okay, if someone is literally, with the whole foods, they're just getting to 20, 30 grams in a meal, and they're still a bit short. And it's like, hey, why don't you have a protein shake with your breakfast, or a little bit of
Yes.
protein powder in your coffee, or something like mixing it into your yogurt in the afternoon? That's an easy hack without necessarily having to do any kind of extra prep, because of course everyone is time poor these days or doesn't want to invest extra time into meal prep. So I really like easy takeaways for sure.
Yeah, and what you said too with like the morning, a lot of times people come to us and they're just skipping breakfast. And like we don't make our clients eat breakfast, but if they're having coffee and like something small, like let's add some protein. Having another like meal time of protein can drastically impact like total daily protein intake, and that can help increase it over time too. So kind of looking at like again the whole like individualized approach to what they're doing now and what can we do to fix this to make it. Maybe help them get them closer to their goal.
Yeah, and I think we're also seeing more and more research come out about, especially in menopause, like how it might not be the best idea to do intermittent fasting or to train on an empty stomach. So having a protein shake just before that or something like that could be really helpful, even for hormone balance or to help that quote unquote slow metabolism. If it's, for example, the liver is just really struggling with hormone balance or with things, and so I think we're learning more how, especially at that phase in life, the protein really is so important, and how we start off our day as opposed to like breaking our fast with a slice of toast and jam or so,
100%, absolutely.
You earlier said something about getting to the root cause of things. So I would love to hear a little bit from you, like if you have the tingling or the feeling that someone has a limiting belief when it comes to weight loss or when it comes to just anything that's holding them back in their journey, how do you or your coaches suggest to go about it in the sense of uncovering that and rewriting that belief?
So we're really big on like just communication and like access to the coaches. And so we have Zoom calls, like check-ins, like two check-ins a week. So we ask very open-ended questions so they can like we ask like, tell me more about kind of what you mean by that. And we ask them like how it started essentially, and just to understand like their beliefs, because a lot of times our beliefs are like, for example, the hardest population or the age group that has the highest distrust of increasing calories are like ladies in their 50s and 60s. Like it's ingrained in their beliefs that more calories equals like more fat gain. And so we'd like kind of walk that, like we're very careful with understanding what they believe and like walking them through what like science says. And that trust process is really important too. So just really understanding how to ask the right questions at the right times and giving some education when necessary. And then also like starting strategies that could be against a belief in a way that makes the client feel comfortable and not pushed, because if they don't trust something, then they're not going to probably do it. And that's why, like, when it comes to reverse dieting or like the metabolic reset phase, if someone's losing, say, a pound per week on average, and it was someone who was like a lady who was very small, and but she had this belief that, like, I don't want to gain weight. I wouldn't just increase calories by 500 calories per day. I don't care what the number says. Like, we'd provide education, but would ask her, hey, how do you feel about that much? And she'd probably say, listen, I don't really feel very comfortable eating that many calories per day more right off the bat. So we kind of either cut it in half or just go a lot slower from the start.
I literally love everything that you said just there. Number one, coaches, literally just asking great question. I think any good coach asks a lot of questions and asks good questions. And so then often the client just becomes aware of their own limitations on their own. And when they discover something on their own, it sticks so much more than if you tell them, by the way, Amanda, I believe that you are holding yourself back because of some childhood patterns, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, actually, that's not true. Like, that doesn't ring true at all, right? But if she comes to it on her own, then it's going to be a very different experience. And then number two, how you also still add education to that and just saying, like, here's a ton of studies that show that carbs in and of themselves are not terrible. And here's some examples, and I'll show you some
Yes.
classes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, could be some truth to that. But then still, as a third layer, that you're actually meeting the client where they're at. Because I will admit, I too, before going about nutrition in an educated way, I was convinced that carbs in and of themselves are inherently fattening. Like, I literally just thought, like, even fruit, bread, definitely, right? And so if someone would have said to me straight off the bat, well, no, Lisa, you're wrong, and you need to eat, 200 grams of rice in your lunch and 200 grams of potatoes in your dinner, I would have been like, you're crazy, I'm not doing that. And the slightest increase in scale weight, I would have attributed exactly to that, as opposed
100%.
to having a tiny increase and then just saying, okay, this feels good. I'm next day stepping on the scale. It's not
Yes.
3 pounds heavier. I'm seeing the evidence with my own eyes. And so, yeah, I literally love everything that you said there. I think it's so important to just go at the person's rate. I do think that there are also clients, they want drastic changes more often. Like, they're just so ready for change and they're so hating what they've been doing that they're like, no, just, you know, an increase of 10 grams of carbs is not going to do anything mentally for them. But yeah, generally speaking, more of a sustainable approach is definitely the way to go in my experience as well.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to like know the client's mindset too, because we have some clients who are like, just tell me what to do. And
yep,
they may have those limiting beliefs inside of them, but they just want to be told exactly what to do. We do like Zoom calls for like our strategy calls. And so like from that first call, we can kind of tell like where their mindset's at. But most people kind of, like you mentioned, Lisa, are, even for me, I hold on to my limiting beliefs because I believe them. Right. But it's so helpful, and it can be life-changing when you have someone who comes alongside you and just, they're very, very patient with you. And just ask those questions that can help you discover and like walk the line of finding where that started and help you kind of walk through that belief and even kind of dig it up and say, maybe this is not really true, and kind of plant that into another belief that is true.
That's awesome. And yeah, I have a few questions to round things off for us, Garrett.
Yeah.
One would be, what are you excited about for Tandem Nutrition in this year or the next 8 months or so that we've got left in this year?
Yeah, so I'm just, I'm really proud of our team, and we finally kind of finalized our metabolic reset system in terms of the four different phases. And so we just started running ads here recently, and so that's kind of new to us. So that's what I'm kind of most excited about right now, to get more people into our program and to hopefully impact more people as well.
I love it. And yeah, I think there's that's one of the beauties of being an entrepreneur or a business owner, trialing things. I think if you put too much weight or too much expectations on something, you're very likely to get disappointed in any kind of area. But if you're just like, I don't know. We've never run them before, so why not? Let's see. And then you might see in a few months, actually, we prefer the organic kind of growth. It feels better. Or you might say, no, this is amazing. We've got such a great community built through these ads. So I love it. I love that you're taking the freedom to do so. And is there something that you're personally excited about in 2025?
Yeah, I think just finding more fun things outside of the business. So join a new gym, join a new church. And so just seeing what life is. So in the last few years, I kind of built our team up and so now I have some more time to focus on other areas of my life, which is exciting. So that's kind of what I'm looking most forward to right now.
I love it. And yeah, again, that's one of the reasons why we want to be entrepreneurs, right? So that in the end, we can work whenever we want to, but we don't
Yeah.
have to work or be in the business all the time because you're so confident in your team and how things are running, your processes. So truly, truly, thank you for your time. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, Garrett, and I love that our approaches align, and I hope a lot
Yeah.
of people are going to go and check out your program at Tandem Nutrition. Of course, I'm going to make sure to link all your handles in the show notes, but yeah, just really grateful for your time.
Well, thank you as well, Lisa. This has been a lot of fun, and I appreciate you allowing me to join you today.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Garrett. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on YouTube or Instagram. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening.